We're in Proverbs 28 tonight, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 5. And before we do, let's bow and look to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for our Wednesday studies and for what we've been learning as we've been going through Proverbs. We ask that you would grant us wisdom. It's our desire to walk as wise people and not as fools. We pray you lead us in paths of righteousness as we pursue a study of this great book of Proverbs. And we'll thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I have a neighbor who is the assistant fire chief for Schoolcraft. And so he, one day, I wanted to burn some stuff, and you go downtown Schoolcraft, and I couldn't find anybody to get the permit, and so I went over to his house, and he wasn't home. So anyway, we were talking one day, and he said, just burn it and keep it under control. In the meantime, he told me, he said, I intend to actually burn the field that's next day. I just want you to know this. I'm going to, as a fire drill, I'm going to bring the fire department out. We're going to burn the field as kind of a drill that's next door to you, so that some of these guys have never faced a fire like this. And so he said, I want to let you know so that you could take the horses and move them so up to another area. I said, no, I want them out there when you burn. And he said, well, why? I said, well, I said, I believe that they'll be safe. They're just going to be, your fire's going to be burning in a field. You're surrounded by people. I said, I think the more things you expose those horses to, the better horses they become. And I believe that. The more things that you expose those animals to, the better those animals become. So as long as they learn it doesn't hurt them, it's not bad for them. And when you go through this book of Proverbs, it becomes quite clear that we are in life exposed to all kinds of things, all kinds of situations, all kinds of problems and pressures. And in the midst of that, we determine whether or not we're going to become a wise person or a foolish person, a righteous person or a wicked person. We're exposed to all kinds of things. And it's in the heat of that that we live out wisdom or folly. And when you come to this text tonight in Proverbs chapter 28, what we discover is you have a lot of different circumstances that approach us, that come at us, and how we react to those situations, various situations and circumstances of life, determines whether or not we're on a path of wisdom or folly or righteousness or wickedness. So we have various circumstances and situations that come at us. God in His sovereignty permits that. And then how we adjust and what we do and how we respond in the midst of those things actually becomes a basis for determining whether or not we're wise. Now, tonight there are five circumstances that are kind of talked about that give us some insight as to some of the direction of wisdom. First of all, wickedness or righteousness may be determined by one's reaction to hostile circumstances. I want you to notice verse 1. The wicked flee when no one is pursuing, but the righteous are bold as a lion. Now, one who is walking in a right relationship with the Lord, and of course, in the book of Proverbs, that would mean a fear of the Lord. Because a fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. So you walk with a fear of the Lord. A person who lives life in a fear of the Lord doesn't fear people. But a person who is living life not fearing the Lord is one who lives in total fear of people. In fact, probably total fear of himself. Because, as one writer said, the most cowardly people are those who have the most guilty conscience. Now, people who are wicked and people that are on a path of folly are swift to take flight away from difficult scenes and situations. In fact, the word flee in Hebrew is a word that means that you move out quickly. You're running fast. But those that are righteous are very slow to run from problems. It's not that they like them. It's just that they're trying to work through them the best they can. They're as bold as a lion. And the word bold means they're confident. They're confident that they're not doing anything wrong to bring the problem on. So they're not running. They're just going to try and work through it in a way that would please the Lord. Now, the fact remains that you cannot demonstrate courage or boldness if you don't have some fear. There is a sense in which we all need to be afraid of certain things, but it's how you react in regard to those certain things that determines whether or not one is wise or foolish. Now, the point of this proverb is, when hostile situations occur and a person is a wicked person, then he will show himself by running away. He'll have even a delusional fear if no one's chasing him, if no one's pursuing him. but he's going to begin to run, whereas one who's righteous will be remaining as bold as a lion. Now, being bold does not mean you don't have a sense of fear. It just means you go forward when you aren't afraid. If you aren't scared, obviously you can't be courageous. So being bold as a lion would mean when you're faced with the intimidating situation, you stay on a path that's right and wise and righteous, just like a lion. Now the particular lion that's being described here is a young lion. It was not afraid of anyone or anything. This particular lion was the quick lion. It was more ferocious than just about anything. Dr. Charles Bridges said in his commentary on Proverbs, "This noble animal is the most perfect model of boldness and courage. He never flees from the hunters, nor is frightened by their onset. If their number forces him to yield, he retires slowly, step by step, frequently turning upon his pursuers. He's been known to attack a whole caravan, and when obliged to retire, he always retires fighting and with his face to his enemy. Young lions are bold, and they do not run." Now one might ask, well, why would a wicked man flee and why would a righteous man be bold? Well, in the law of God, Moses clearly taught that obedience to the Lord would bring his blessings and would bring boldness. For example, let's go to Leviticus chapter 26 for just a moment. Leviticus chapter 26. Notice verse 14. In Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 14. And we read in verse 14 of Leviticus 26, "But if you do not obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, if instead you reject my statutes and if your soul abhors my ordinances so as not to carry out all my commandments and so break my commandment, I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you a sudden terror, consumption and fever that shall waste away the eyes and cause the soul to pine away. Also you shall sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies shall eat it up." So what this principle teaches us is obedience would bring blessings and boldness, whereas disobedience would bring cursings and fear. And so what we would learn here is that a person who's wicked is one who's living with a constant fear that he's going to be tracked down for his sin. The biggest fear for the wicked person is the fear of being found out. When you're pursuing wickedness, you are going to run and stay away and stay aloof, and you're not going to get close, and you're not going to be transparent, and you're not going to be open and honest. You're going to be on the run. You're going to be on the move because you don't want to get tracked down. But the righteous man, on the other hand, is living his life in conformity to the things of God, and he realizes that if things happen, circumstances and situations crop up that perhaps aren't the most pleasant, he realizes, look, I'm not bringing this on. I'm not in wickedness and the cause of the problem. Therefore, there's a boldness that this one can manifest in that type of context, because in the midst of the struggles and problems, he can realize, I didn't do anything to bring this on. Therefore, I'm not going to run like a wicked person. I'm going to stay steadfast and bold and true to the Lord, realizing that I'm faithful to Him. Now, if a person isn't right with the Lord, that one is going to live in constant fear. God can track him down and punish him. But one who's living life in a right relationship with the Lord lives it with a constant confidence that, look, I'm not out of sync in my walk with God. I know that God's sovereign. I may not understand what's going down, but my confidence is in the Lord. I can be bold in trusting the Lord because I'm not bringing this thing down. It's foolish to get out of step with God and to run away from God because you can't do it. Ask Jonah, who really thought, I'm not going to do what God wants me to do, and I'm going to run away from what God wants me to do. And God said, okay, I'll just track you down. Now, people who aren't right with the Lord have a tendency to run away. They aren't hanging out with those that are faithful to the Lord, because those that are faithful to the Lord are developing a staying power. They're developing a boldness in the Lord, a confidence, a trust in God. That's all part of developing a life that's wise. So one key to determining righteousness or unrighteousness is one's reaction to hostile circumstances and situations. I read a story of a child who had to walk home at night, and he had to walk by this scary house, and it just looked scary and eerie, and it was kind of a dark, dismal place. And He was telling some adults that he had to do this to get to his house every night, and he was scared to do this. And different adults were trying to give this kid counsel as to what he should do. And one of the adults said, "Well, I'll give you a good luck charm. And so when you walk by the house here, you've got this good luck charm. That'll help you." Another person just said, "Well, I think when you walk by the house, you just need to be brave and trust in the Lord." One wise older person said, "You know, son, I know what it's like to be afraid. So I'll tell you what I'll do. Every time you come to this house, I'll walk with you. I'll go right with you by this scary part. And then you'll get safely home." Now, you see, that's the confidence that we can have in the Lord if we're pursuing a wise, righteous life. We can realize that when we are in those scary times, we have a boldness that God's walking through it with us because we're on His side. We're on His team. We're not out of step with Him. We're in close fellowship with Him. So that's the wise way to live life, to be bold in our confidence in the Lord. That is not arrogance. That's a boldness that's developed from righteousness, and to pursue it in the ways of the Lord. That's the mark of wisdom. Now, the second circumstance is wickedness or righteousness may be determined by the quality of the key leader. Verse 2, "By the transgression of a land, many are its princes, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, so it endures." Now, this proverb is teaching that when God's people are moving in a right direction, God will permit a righteous leader to lead, and things will happen. The kingdom will endure. However, when God's people get off on a path of folly, what God will permit to happen is many different types of leaders come into play and will move in a crazy direction. And you'll notice carefully what it says, "By the transgression of the land, many are its princes." That word transgression refers to someone that sins. Israel had gone through, at the time that Hezekiah's men were compiling these proverbs, they had gone through 200 to 250 years of one person after another and turmoil upon turmoil. The 200 years, the 250 years between Solomon and Hezekiah were 250 years of unrest and instability, and that unrest and instability was actually a judgment from God. Dr. H.A. Ironside, in thinking about this proverb, said, "I don't care what the organization is, who the people are, or what the country is, you will not prosper if you have frequent changes in executive power." He said, you need someone that has been there, that's moving in a right direction. They need to be at the head of things. They need to be running things. And if you kind of cause this thing to go topsy-turvy, you create chaos. Dr. Chuck Swindoll said, "To be a great leader, you need a righteous heart, and you also need rhinoceros skin." Now, notice carefully what the proverb says. "By the transgression of the land, many are the princes, but the antithesis of that, by a man of understanding and knowledge, so it endures." So here's the point. If a person is running things who's a wise person of the Lord, knowledgeable in the things of God, discerning and pursuing the ways of God, that has an effect on the entire nation. The wise leader ends up bringing blessing and stabilization to God's people. The whole group is blessed. God says, "I'll prolong my grace and my mercy to the organization that's being led by discerning people." However, the text says, you get into transgression and you start pursuing things that are not righteous and not wise, this land will become under the domination of many princes. You'll have one leader and another leader, and they'll go this way, and another one goes that way, and you don't know where you're going. There's no direction, there's no focus, and there's no blessings of the Lord. So this proverb was designed to teach Israel that peace and tranquility and stability are all blessings that God can give or take, and He does it dependent upon who you have at the helm. And if you have righteous person that's leading, and then there's a righteousness that's being followed, then the blessings of God are there. You've got a lot of things happening in the organization. However, if wickedness is there, if transgression is there, then what's going to happen is multiple leaders will ultimately lead, and things will end up a mess. Now, what if you're one that's righteous, and you're in a position where you are in leadership, and then you have a bunch of people under you that are in transgression? Well, probably you'll be the last person standing, and you may be taken out of there. I mean, that's been the observation that I would say. If you're faithful to the Lord, and everybody's going berserk on you, and you're faithful to the Lord, God will always take care of faithful people. I mean, that's what He promises to do. And so what He'll ultimately do is He'll say, fine, stay in your transgressions, stay in your sin. We'll just move the person there, or move the people there, and then therefore you've got this many advisors and many leaders that are going nowhere, and you have insanity on your hands. That's the warning that comes out of this proverb. So wise people pursue righteousness. Now the third circumstance is wickedness or righteousness may be determined by one's treatment of the poor. Notice verse 3, a poor man who oppresses the lowly is like a driving rain which leaves no food. Now this is interesting because certainly, if a person has been through things, they ought to be able to empathize with another person who's going through the same thing. Now, you'll notice what it says. A poor man who oppresses the lowly. One poor ought always to relate to other poor people and never oppress them. You have two different Hebrew nouns used here, one for poor, one for lowly. The first Hebrew noun that's used here for poor speaks of one who has needs and wants. This person was in a position where he had real needs and wants at one time. And the word lowly speaks of one who's helpless and feeble. Now, the person who had the needs and wants lived through that, apparently came through it, and now is in a position to help somebody else who's in a feeble position. But instead of him helping the person, he wants to oppress the person, violently treat unjustly this person. And the proverb says this is like a sweeping rain that leaves no food. Now food or rain, a pouring rain, a driving rain, is supposed to refresh the earth. It's supposed to give life to crops. That's what's happened in just the last couple of days. We've had wonderful, refreshing rain that's come to this area, and things are just greening up and growing just as fast as they possibly can. That's what rain is supposed to do. But if you take driving rain that just comes upon with a ferocious fierceness to it, you will discover that driving rain destroys the crops. It doesn't nourish the crops. It doesn't cause things to grow. It actually is rain that destroys rather than helps. And so it is with a person who mistreats the poor. This one is useless in the mind of God. A poor person who's lived through it ought to be in a position to spot others that are living through it. You should try to help people and give life to people and not destroy them. I personally know of a family in which a person went from relatively feeble to a very high, important position. I mean, in not long a period of time, it just happened. By the grace of God. And all of a sudden, they were in a position to do a whole lot of things. And one of the things was to have nice clothing, the top of the line, brand name clothing for everybody. But then they'd laugh at those who couldn't afford it. And I'm thinking, and I watched this, I'm going, wait a minute, don't you realize where you just came from? You didn't have that just a few months ago. Now you've got it. Now you're looking down on those that don't have it. And I'm sure that most would agree, what a terrible thing to be. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, this kind of thing, I think, happens all the time in churches. And I'll tell you how it happens. All of us here are poor sinners who've been saved by the grace of God. Now, our circumstances may vary, and the testimony of our lives may be a little different. We have different areas of sin, perhaps, that we were saved out of. But the fact remains, we were all sinners, and we were saved by the grace of God. And there are those other poor sinners who come into the church, and there can be those in the church that they can forget about this. They can forget about the fact, hey, I was once a poor, miserable sinner, and I was certainly not worthy of a relationship with God. And so as a result, they begin to look down their noses at these feeble, hurting sinners, forgetting that they once were the same way. Now, that's exactly the principle that we want to glean from here. Now, fortunately, in this church, I don't think that happens a whole lot. In fact, I just heard a testimony just this week of someone who said, what a sweet spirit. This person felt welcomed here, and this person you wouldn't know anything about this, was struggling in some ways, but they felt really warmth and welcome by the people here. Not one person was looking down. That's a great testimony to have, because this proverb teaches that isn't always the truth. We're all spiritually poor. We're all in need of spiritual health. Woe to us if we start oppressing another person who would come in here who is also in need of the same thing that we once were in need of. We need to be people who are quick to wrap our arms around the sinners. You know, Jesus had a lot more fellowship with sinners than he did the Pharisees when he was here. I mean, he was called, he's a friend of sinners. It was the Pharisees and those religious shysters he didn't get along too well with. And that's the way it should be for us as well. Now, the fourth circumstance is wickedness or righteousness can be determined by one's relationship to wicked people. Verse 4, those who forsake the law praise the wicked, but those who keep the law strive with them. Now, people who wandered away from the Word of God, of course, also wander away from the people of God. I want to keep in our minds this important truth from this book of Proverbs. We're talking about people who were in Israel's commonwealth. In other words, these were people who hung around Jerusalem. These were Jewish people. These were people who would have claimed they were right with God, but this was the way you could kind of look beyond what they were saying, the smoke screen of what they were claiming, to see whether or not they were really wise or righteous, or whether or not they were just wicked and foolish phonies. I mean, that's what this book of Proverbs enabled people in Israel to do, not only analyze themselves, but analyze others. Now, this principle is saying, look, a person who is not in a right relationship with the Word of God is also not in a right relationship with those who are right with God. So what happens is, those that aren't in a relationship that's proper with the Word of God, they start praising those who are not right with the Word of God. This whole thing gets crazy. I mean, and they're honoring those they shouldn't be honoring, instead of honoring those they should be honoring. In Chicago, they give tours of Al Capone's places. Now, for historical purposes, I suppose, just for the sake of interest in history, because some of us have lived through the era when he lived. Some of you have, not myself personally, but I'm sorry. That is a fact. But I'm supposed that there is a place for historical thinking when you go through these places. But the man was a killer and a gangster. I mean, they'll drive you around and show you this, like almost this guy was a hero. And say, well, here is where Al Capone did this, and here's where Al Capone did this, and you're thinking, wait a minute, we've forgotten what this guy was. That's the kind of thing that can happen in a society that's all twisted. On the other hand, people who are interested in obeying the Word of God will not only elevate the godless, but they'll discover that there will be times when they will contend with them. People that are right with God will contend. So one who's turned away from God will be one who commends the wicked, but one who's in tune with the Lord, one who's faithful to the Word of God, will be one who contends with the wicked. In other words, he will stand up and say, now that's evil, that's wrong, that's not right according to the Scriptures. In other words, they won't be wishy-washy when it comes to issues that are evil and sinful. So the real bottom line of this is, who are we drawn to in elevating? Those that are right with the Lord and those that are dedicated to the Word of God, or those that are pursuing other things? That brings us to the fifth circumstance. Wickedness or righteousness can be determined by one's desire and ability to understand what's right. Notice verse 5. Evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord understand all things. Evil people do not understand justice. And that's why, when it comes time for trials, there's this jury selection. And they'll try to find people that don't understand justice. They'll try to find them that really can just relate to the evil. They don't have the ability to distinguish, to separate the good from the bad. But those who seek the Lord, they can do it. They can distinguish right from wrong. And I want you to notice it says, evil men do not understand justice, but those who seek the Lord. That verb seek is one that refers to a diligent seeking, a diligent search. People who are not diligently searching after God or His Word are never going to understand the will of God. They're not going to understand what's right, even if they see it in the Word, because they don't have the ability to do it. But those that are diligently after the things of the Lord, they understand righteousness. They understand what is just. Now, we just had a guy today sentenced who's responsible for killing thousands of people in the United States, and they gave him life in prison rather than the death penalty. You know what it takes per year? I was just told this today. To house a person in jail for 1 year. Huh? Well, boy, you guys are really, this is, I was told $30,000. I was told $30,000 a year. I don't know. It could be more. That's what I was told. I have not verified that. But that's a lot. So here's what we're saying to this guy. Here's what we're going to do to him. We're going to, for the rest of his life, pay $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 a year to sit in jail. We're going to clothe him. We're going to take care of him medically. We're going to feed him. We're going to be involved in seeing to it that he has a place to live. Not the best of places, but that's what we're going to do. And we're going to do that rather than a dollar bullet. And that's a high price bullet. And the reason we're in this dilemma is because nobody can see through the fog of what's just and right. And so you have a jury, and some on the jury were saying, this guy needs to be executed. He was responsible for butchering Americans. And you got somebody going, well, I don't know, you know, and I don't know what to think about this. And so you have a problem there, and that's where this stuff ends up. Look, until Jesus Christ comes back, really, righteousness is not going to reign on this earth. But you can certainly tell whether or not societies are becoming a little more wise or a little more foolish by just decisions that they make or don't make. And what you're seeing in this world is people who are evil do not understand justice. They don't want justice. But those who are seeking the Lord, they understand all things. As Paul said, they have the mind of Christ. So the wise way to live our lives is to be people who are moving in the direction of the righteous things of God. When we are moving in that direction, we'll be developing a boldness. We'll be developing understanding of situations. We'll be compassionate to people. We'll realize where we've come from, where we are, where they're at. We'll do our best to try to help them. We will praise those that deserve praise, but we won't praise those who don't deserve it. And then we will be people who are developing a proper perspective of things, what's right and equitable and just and good and fair. That's the mark of wisdom that's being developed here. Any questions or comments tonight?